In Joko's book, Everyday Zen, she has a chapter where she seems to say that our practice is hopeless, even saying that our life is hopeless. What she actually says is that our practice and our life should be without hope. That might seem discouraging, but she goes on to say that a life lived with no hope is a peaceful, joyous, compassionate life. Sounds counterintuitive, doesn't it? You might know the story of the man who had a recurring dream about being chased by a tiger. Every night, the dream would begin with him walking along a path. He hears the noise behind him and turns to see a tiger stalking him. So he walks faster, and the tiger goes faster. He starts to run, and the tiger runs. He runs as fast as he can, but the tiger is still gaining on him. Right before the tiger pounces, the man wakes up in a terrified sweat and can't get back to sleep. So finally, one day, he makes a decision. That night, in the dream, instead of trying to run from the tiger, he stops, turns, and opens up his arms. The tiger disappears, and he never has the dream again. I like to think that the tiger catches up. He embraces the man, and they dance together in the moonlight, but that's not in the story. So, is there a tiger chasing you? Is there something hot on your heels that you're trying to avoid or escape? Perhaps it's more like a bunch of annoying house cats than a vicious tiger. The man in the story realized that escaping the tiger was hopeless, so he decided to turn and embrace it. What he discovered was that he and the tiger are not two. What he was trying to avoid was himself, his own life. And there is no hope in doing that. So he gave up his self and gained his life. A Zen teacher once said that we need to die on our cushion. They weren't implying that we need to sit until we starve to death. They were saying that we must learn that our practice isn't about us. It's about letting go of the notion that we exist apart from everything else. This is what our practice is. We give up ourself and gain our life. It's a lifelong effort because this little self, which is a functional aspect of human nature, is very insistent. And it knows what our life should or shouldn't be, and is rarely satisfied with the results of our efforts. It's constantly looking for a fix, a solution, to what will finally satisfy it and protect it from a world that it believes stands against it. But in the end, we always come back to this life just as it is. Only in turning to face and embrace our discontent, our fear, our suffering, but we realize that we and the scary tiger are not separate. We created it by our attachments and aversions. And the tiger's job in the self-centered dream is to help us to see this. I remember when I was doing koan practice and working with case 5 of the Mumenkan. It goes like this. Master Kyogen said, "It is like a man up in a tree hanging by his mouth. His hands grasp no bough, his feet rest on no limb. Someone appears below and asks the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West. If he does not answer, he fails the questioner. If he does answer, he loses his life. What would you do in this situation? So that's the case, and it sounds hopeless, doesn't it? Neither option seems like the right one. And when I first read this case, I thought, how did he get up there in the first place? But I dismissed that thought and began trying to figure out what I would do. Shrug my shoulders, wave the questioner away, make an obscene gesture. But none of these worked in the Sanzen room. Eventually, I realized that my first impression was what this case was all about. We put ourselves in hopeless situations without any good options by clinging to our desires and aversions. When we clamp down our teeth on the branch of self, we miss realizing the life that's always right here. The life that sometimes asks us questions we can't answer and includes the tigers we can't outrun. But we don't really need an ancient case to help us realize the true nature of our life as it is. It's always right here, moment by moment. We can't miss it. And yet somehow we do, by simply not paying attention. We get stuck on the branch of clinging to self and forget to be exactly who and what we are. So, is our life hopeless? Yes. But only if we try and grasp it and turn it into a thing that we can control. Is our practice hopeless? Yes, if we believe it will fix our life rather than shine a light on it and give us the opportunity to embrace and be our life exactly as it is and respond skillfully to what is rather than what we wish was or wasn't. I'll end my little talk with a Joko quote. She says, "We're racing around like mad, looking for something called self. Where is it hidden? We hope for something that's going to take care of this little self, because we don't realize that already we are self. There's nothing around us that is not self. What are we looking for?" Thank you.